Welcome to the Produce Industry Podcast, your weekly download on current events, trends, market reports, and community discussions. Join us each week from Tampa, Florida, as we cover all aspects of the produce supply chain industry. Ladies and gentlemen, here's your host, Patrick Kelly.
Hey, produce people, welcome back to the Produce Industry Podcast. I'm your host, Patrick Kelly, also known as Lil Citrus, coming to you live from Tampa, Florida. Today is February 19th, 2024. Did you enjoy the Super Bowl last weekend? Did you enjoy Valentine's Day? And best of all, did you enjoy Fresh from the Field Fridays on Friday with my man, Ross, the produce boss? Now, everyone, a couple announcements before we get started. We are less than just about 2 weeks away from SEPC's Southern Exposure. That's right, I'll be there. We got the crew, we're walking the show, we're doing some video, and we're having some fun promoting all things fresh produce. And let's not forget, we got the in-person inaugural Produce Industry Podcast networking event, March 7th, 2024, just before SEPC, and we are going to be celebrating the 4 years of the podcast, my daughter Lily's 9th birthday, and overall, being together and celebrating fresh produce. And don't forget, in less than 10 days on Leap Day, February 29th, 2024, we are having Robert Gunther on for our virtual networking hour that is going to be covering the 2024 Farm Bill. So if you don't know about the Farm Bill, Robert is going to get you educated and get you to understand what you need to do to be involved. That is February 29th, 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now, everyone, for our featured guest of today, Ryan Fox of Bloomberg Intelligence. Now, Ryan is a corrugated market analyst. He talks all things about corrugated packaging. And today, we're going to go over the Green Markets Box Report of Bloomberg Company. We're going to talk about the price index. We're going to talk about inflation. And we're going to talk about when is it time to make the decision and start shopping around for new box prices. Everyone, packaging is a big part of the produce industry. And let's hear from Ryan and get this episode started. Hey, Ryan, welcome to the show finally, man.
Yes, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
It's been about, what, a couple of years since we met on LinkedIn. I always tell people, like, again, LinkedIn is a powerful place. Ryan, if you listen to my podcast, people probably think I have that on record and play. But LinkedIn is such a powerful tool. And when you're looking at social media, this is how you connect, especially on the B2B side. Like, everybody wants to promote Instagram and Facebook, but let's go decision makers. Decision makers are making decisions based on LinkedIn. Am I right?
Sometimes that is absolutely the case.
They're not just, yes, they scroll, but if they're not getting lost in the TikTok world of scrolling on LinkedIn.
Not yet anyway.
Give me time. I'll post some more videos that'll make you scroll stop. But, you know, today, you know, when we talked last, you've interviewed some of our packaging people, whether they're a grower, packer, shipper, or they're one of our sponsors like Severin, which you've interviewed over the last couple of years, just about packaging in general. I mean, right. Everything's going up. And everybody, that's what we're here to talk about today. We're going to talk a little bit about inflation, but on a different side, how cost models are working with box pricing. Now, before we get into all that, Ryan, I gave a little bit of an intro for you in the pre-intro, but give us the 30,000 overview, you know, foot overview of the people that are just introducing themselves to the show and meeting you today. Give us 30,000 foot above view of who you are and what you got going on with why you know about these box prices.
Yeah. So Patrick, I work at Bloomberg and I cover the corrugated market. So I spend all of my waking hours during the week listening to what producers are saying, studying the market, looking at all the dynamics and trying to come up with, you know, all of the inputs necessary to gauge what's really happening out there.
As they say, what's really hot and in the market. Yeah. And that's what's great about it is that's how we've kind of had our connection over the years is just talking and sharing information back and forth, which I think is great. I always tell you, man, I want to be in Bloomberg. I've been in Bloomberg once. Remember, I finally made it last year with my million downloads. They finally picked up my story. So I was happy. I was crediting that to you. I'm like, yeah, Ryan must have given me a really good word on that one. So it was good. But Bloomberg's a big company and Bloomberg's a company you want to listen to and get some real-time data from. So let's talk about this because as you look at the current state and the economy of where we are today, it definitely shows that we're looking towards a recession. People say depression, but it's like it's getting to a point where supply and demand curves aren't adding up. The economics, the economies of scale aren't adding up for not just boxes, but many different items. I mean, the inflation we're seeing in stores on certain products versus what their break-even costs are. It's just all around the board. Nothing's making sense, Ryan. And I think that's what you and I talked about before we started this podcast, which was, it just doesn't make sense to us. And that's your job, is to analyze that data. So let's talk about this box price index, what you're seeing that doesn't add up, what you're seeing in the data and analytics, and kind of give a little bit of an overview, man.
Yeah. All right. So let's rewind the tape a couple of years. Okay. So during the pandemic, the world kind of shut down, and all of the things that people would do on a normal basis, that all changed. We couldn't go to concerts anymore. People couldn't go out to eat anymore. They were kind of locked down. And what did they do? People largely spent a lot of money on goods. A lot of it was online. We saw a huge jump in online spending. We saw some shifts in how people interacted with retailers. There's a new term that's not just e-commerce, but it's called digital shopping, which includes the traditional 3PL model, but also includes like you buy online, but you pick up it at the curbside or something like that. These were all new things that happened as a result of the pandemic. But there was a long period of time there where people had excess money and all they could do was buy stuff. And that's what we did. And we saw box demand jump through the roof like we'd never seen it jump before. That was a great thing for box producers. It was a really bad thing for box buyers, because with that came a series of price increases that were close to 30%. It was something we haven't seen in a very, very, very long time. And since then, we saw in mid-2022, we started to see a reversal of that trend. We started to see people go, wait a second, this pandemic thing's loosening up. We can get back out and go to concerts. I mean, last year, who spent thousands of dollars to go to Taylor Swift concerts? Everybody.
Not me.
Not you. Not me either.
Listen, I did do my first concert, though, outside of like a produce conference last year. I did. I went at the Tampa Amphitheater. I went and saw Avenged Sevenfold.
Of course.
Oh, you do?
Metalhead, man. Are you kidding?
Oh, man, Lyle. Listen, I've been listening to Avenged Sevenfold since 2005. So,
okay, brother. Let's go.
It's been a while. But yeah, okay. I did also spend the money.
There you go.
Which is a crazy amount of money, dude. Seriously.
So, but here's the thing. We saw about a year and a half or so, 2 years of a shift in consumer spending. Then in mid-2022, things started to reverse course. And we started to see it in box trends. We started to see that there was some softening in the box market, that we weren't shipping as many boxes. And by the end of 2022, we started to see some price erosion. So the prices were coming back down. And in a kind of a famous line within Bloomberg, it goes up like a rocket and down like a feather. Well, they went up really, really quickly, but they didn't come down quickly. So we started to see another famous line is death by a million cuts. We started to see like incremental small discounts. Okay, we're going to come down a little bit. We're going to come down, 2%, 3%. Da, da, da. And it has come to a head where finally, after a series of about 5 or 6 price decreases over from November of 2022 into November of 2023, we really started to see like that trend, we think, may have hit its bottom. Because here's what happened in November 2023. Producer said, whoa, 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 guys, we've seen enough of this backwards momentum on price. We need to raise our prices. And they came out with a street price of about a 14% box price increase. Now, certainly if there's a contract in place, that's going to dictate, how much things move. But it was still a very strong signal that producers are going, guys, we can't take any more price decreases. And it was for a variety of reasons.
And I think that's crazy, man. I mean, just looking at that, I'm thinking in my head about like the retail structures. And, if you go back to 2020, pricing was still legitimate, as I would say. I mean, think about like April 2020. And, restaurants are saying you can come pick up. I love that. A pick up at the curbside. It was the same price, though, as if you were to dine in. Mm-hmm. And now it's getting to a point where it's completely different. What I ordered in 2020, if I ordered directly now from that same restaurant, a $70 meal is now probably a $180 meal. Wow. And they're even charging for it. You don't notice it, but you are getting charged in that curbside pickup. You are getting charged for those types of things. Because no difference that if you're at a restaurant, you have a server waiting on you, that server is going to get tipped, right? That server is going to have interaction. So you're kind of almost still getting charged for that. And I noticed that on some of the receipts, if you do curbside pickup, you're still getting charged gratuity. You're still getting charged these fees because, again, everybody still has to make money. And I've noticed that even in the world of produce too, if you want to go to the retail lens. If you look at the actual retail lens, I mean, my goal is like, I'm always like, I got to keep a box price at, or a bag price of oranges at, $4.99 to $6.99 a box. And if you know anything about oranges, at $4.99, let's just go $4.99 is a stellar deal. So if you go $6.99, which you see, you know, times that by how many 4-pound bags are in a box, which is 10, you know, that's $69.90, you know? And then if you look at where the market is on a 10-4 box right now, I'm just saying, right? Right now, you know, you're looking at about $26 for 10 4-pound bags. So now you're at minus $69.60. You're at a $43.60 margin to include freight, to include warehouse costs and distribution, to include marketing, and then in-store employees to stock and do everything.
Yep.
So the day of, and if you look at that, you know, warehouse costing is 27 to 30%. We all know that, right? Mm-hmm. So you look at freight. Freight is $2 to $3 a box on those prices, right? You got 40% out of that $43.60 that's being taken out. So another $17 is being taken out of that $43, right? Now you're at like $26 you're making, and that's without all of the internal store costs. That's without anything that happened during produce. And before, you saw that, you know, most retailers were getting about a 40 to 60% markup, which is true because they're the ones that are selling the items, keeping the, you know, the end inventory in their stores and have a beautiful setup, right? But if you look at this today, people are wanting a $4.99, $6.99 bag price, but our costs now are almost up to $18 a box, right? And so now if you look at that, to get to that $4.99, which, you know, I kind of just told you, a $4.99 box price is at $49.90. If you subtract those exact costs again, the margin is now $6.90 without internal store costs.
Right.
Yes, is citrus still being sold? Is onion still being sold? It's all still being sold. But what the problem is, it's affecting the pocketbooks. And I love your comment at the beginning, which was that digital shopping went up and we were paying more because we had nothing else to do.
Right.
But now we've come to a peak, right? That's that supply and demand dumbbell curve, remember? Now you're getting to a peak to where we are starting to buy other items, but nothing is coming down in price. Everything's going up. None of us are getting raises. You know, I told that to my wife the other day. They told my wife she needs a new certificate for her school. It's like $1,100. They pretty much told her, like, that's on you to get that if you want to get to the next level. And your pay, though, didn't even come out to an extra $1,200 or $1,500 a year. So really, to get a new certificate, she was getting a $200 raise a year. And you know this, because I'm a numbers guy, right? Yeah, you know, do $400 a year, even $1,100. $1,100 a year times 40 hours a week, right? Times 52 weeks, right? You're making less than 20 cents an hour raise.
Yeah, you can't do that.
But yet taxes are going up. State taxes, property taxes, insurance, everything's going up, but nobody's seeing on the consumer side the up from it. We're having to pay more out of pocket and on the business side, Ryan.
Well, and then volume is down, right? So, you know, not only am I an analyst, but I am a husband and a father. And
you
I'm
are a consumer?
Shopping.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I'm a consumer.
You know? There's no way. You don't need.
Yeah, I mean, hey, stranger things have happened, you know? And when I go to my local grocery store, I take my children along with me and we play this game called We Have a Budget. And sometimes we play this game that says you can get whatever brand of thing you want. The only thing is it has to be on promotion. Mm. You know, it just depends if there's a lot of month at the end of the money or not. You know what I'm saying? Like sometimes, you see what I did there? It's a lot of month at the end of the money. Sometimes things get tight, you know, and you're like, hey, listen, kids, we got $150 this month or this week, you know, hey,
whatever it is.
Yeah, whatever the thing is. So you go down the aisle and you say, okay, you need yogurt? Fine, get whatever yogurt. You guys want apples? Fine, pick the apples. Just see if it's on promo. Like, we gotta be sensible. We gotta be sensible, right? And so they have to learn how to, but you know, I do this so they can learn how to budget money. But we've seen an incredible amount of promotion that's been happening because volumes have been struggling. And if you look at major brands, 2023 was not a kind year to many, many brands. Volumes were down. I mean, I just posted on LinkedIn the other day, alcohol sales are down substantially. And it's not just because of dry January. So this is affecting a lot of different segments. It's not just produce, it's packaged goods of all kinds. Yep. And we're seeing it significantly though in store traffic. You know, store traffic trends are much further down. We're seeing this is kind of crazy that on a year-over-year basis though, the average transaction is, you know, sometimes very similar, but people are walking away with much fewer goods. The volume of what they're getting, you know, their money isn't going as far.
Oh, no way. No way.
You would think, right? I mean, the other day, The other day we were at the grocery store, and we don't normally do this, but there was a brand of sparkling water that was a buy two, get three free. And this is when we capitalize on, hey, you want that brand? Well, now is the time that you get it, because guess what? They're perking this for us. They want to move the volume.
They want us to have it.
Right. When that happens, that's what we do.
I mean, I like it. I mean, the same thing with me. I always tell people I'm not a price shopper when it comes to produce, but there's certain things I don't care. Like, I'm going to buy it, right? But like the sumos, I've had so much sumos this year. Because Juicy Crunch was just ending, so I started my sumo kick. I went into Whole Foods the other day, and the sumos were $9.99 for a 3-pound bag, and there was four of them in there.
Wow.
There was four sumos in there. So $9.99 divided by four, man. Mm-hmm. I was paying almost $2.58 for a piece of fruit. And at that point, I just went and got regular oranges. Like, you know what I mean? The Cuties and the Halos bags, or the Mighty's bag, was $4.99, $5.99, and the bang for your buck. I mean, four sumos, I have a family of five.
Yeah.
So like, I'd have to share. And if you know me, I'm not sharing my sumo. I'm not sharing my Juicy Crunch. Like, I'm sorry. Like, those are for me.
And
sometimes I eat three to four in a week.
All right.
You know what I mean? So that's one thing that I did start to, you know, look at. And I was really upset, because now as a produce person, it's driving me away because it's too much money. And then, you know, it's crazy. What did I go buy? Because I eat healthier than others. I went and bought rice cakes. Like, I bought caramel rice cakes that were on sale. The bags were 2 for $5. And, you know, obviously that's not as great as produce. But Ryan, these are my snacks that I eat. And so if I'm able to accomplish my snack during the day, and rice cakes is really just as good, right? Over one sumo, I literally got my rice cakes 2 for $5 for literally two pieces of oranges. And it sucks, right? Because Those are the things that we're starting to see with inflation. Now, we're talking a lot about fresh produce. Let's go to the container board prices and volumes, because I think that's what's crazy. You know, everyone, there's in the industry, there's different types of boxes. I know a couple, so I'll name my couple, and then we'll let you kind of go off it. But you know, you've got your craft box, all right? And I see you've got your normal brown box. What would be that brown box? What do you call those? Just a normal corrugated box, right?
Yeah. So we don't really discriminate too much on the box side of things.
I like that.
They can be brown, they can be white, they can be color, multicolored. We don't really care.
But they do charge different prices for different boxes.
Correct.
Am I right?
Yeah, yes. Correct. Okay. And that's largely due to performance. You know,
okay.
There are some that have different shipping standards, the heavier weights, maybe they need to be refrigerated. There's a variety of different factors that go into how they make the box and what kind of standards they need.
Got it.
But they're all made from raw materials, liner board and medium, kind of what we track. And, you know, again, we've seen the price come down over the last year. And so now we're at an interesting crossroad where, you know, producers are looking to raise their prices. But the funny thing is, we just reported this month, they really haven't raised their prices yet. So they've signaled that they want it. They really want the price increase, and yet they just haven't. And that's a very, very perplexing thing. And we don't know if it's just because there's the demand weakness, and they're afraid that if they raise prices now, that it's going to, you know, pressure people to do some shopping. We really don't understand some of those dynamics right now, because it is kind of perplexing. They said in November they're going to raise it, and then here it is a couple months later and it hasn't materialized.
We're going to take a quick break, everyone. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about some of these supply and demand challenges. We're going to talk about, you know, who's buying what in these corners. And, you know, just the thoughts of what to do moving forward. So let's take a quick break, everyone. We're going to hear from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
I love grapes.
Whoa, what's this?
Dude, that's a snack with impact.
Wait, what?
You know, Sunraise. They are the snack with impact. All their grapes and mandarins are certified, sustainably grown, so you know the planet and people are being taken care of. And they make a donation to save the children with every package packed, so kids can thrive around the world.
No way. So every time I have Sunraise grape or mandarin, I'm making the world a better place?
Duh. That's why they call it the snack with impact. JGLC, the place to be, a third-generation, family-owned and operated asset-based company. Throughout their 60 years in business, integrity, reliability, and loyalty to their customers has remained their top priority. JGLC guarantees 24/7 communication with your personal logistics coordinator. They offer competitive pricing without sacrificing services. They operate throughout the United States and Canada. JGLC's customers count on them for dependability and dedication carried out on every order, every time. 60 years of service for all your trucking needs. Visit them at jglc.com for your custom quote.
Welcome back to the Produce Industry Podcast, everyone. It's always great to hear from dynamite sponsors creating dynamite content for the produce and supply chain industry. Today, we have Ryan Fox on the line. We're talking about the box price index. And you know what? We've got some great information from a Bloomberg company. So, Ryan, welcome back.
Thanks again, Patrick. Thanks for having me.
Man, as I keep talking and thinking about this, obviously, because as a California citrus supplier, we buy a lot of our stuff in advance, right? Boxes, bags, things like that. And, you know, as I looked at some of the boxes, I mentioned craft boxes because we use certain boxes. And as a packer, you establish it differently because, you know, your brown box, right? You know, I love how you say, like, we don't discriminate like between the colors of the boxes. I agree with you. Your craft box versus, you know, maybe a white liner board box, right? Your quality is different, right? Where you're shipping it to is different. If you got one of those wet veg boxes, right, that's more waterproof, all of these have different prices and obviously play a huge role in the industry. Now, if you look at the container board prices and volumes, I'm not going to go through the entire report. I'm going to read a little bit, you know, from it, but these represent like an average buyer. Okay.
Absolutely.
You know, so, you know, these pays that I'll talk about are just a wide factor between obviously the seller, longevity of product, right? Recycled versus imported versus domestic. But if you look at your craft, you know, liner board that a lot of people have in our industry, prices were unchanged in the US. You mentioned this a little bit, even as some producers looked at $70 a ton boost. In many cases, when mill representatives attempted to double down on price increases, buyers literally evaded the hikes by turning to mills that hadn't moved. So right. It's like they almost moved around to figure out where they can get the right pricing. Then of $18 price submissions, only two indicated that the seller raised prices by $70, right, in that overall price. So right. There's a big difference in the craft liner board. The recycled liner board, right, the same thing with them. You know, some sellers said they raised their prices over $20 a ton, you know, but, you know, as you looked at the analysis, it indicated they may not have affected its lowest price customer at all. So difference of the new recycled mill still ramping up capacity, right? And then don't expect prices to rise drastically, but there could be more pressure to bring up low-end client. Like right. It's almost as you're reading some of these reports, and if you don't understand it, it's almost conflicting. The supply and demand curve. Like, if prices are going up, shouldn't other prices go up? Why are they going after the low-cost customers if prices are going up, right?
Well, so let's talk about that. So first, if you have a low-price customer and your input costs are going up and you're feeling some margin pressure, you're going to try to raise the prices to your lowest price customers first, because at that point, they're the ones you can get rid of. They're not making you any money. So if you raise them $20, $30, $70, it doesn't matter what the price is. If you raise them and they walk, it doesn't matter for you because they're really not profitable.
But you still get to tell everybody you raised your prices.
Right. Okay. So now here's the other thing. Typically, you know, based on supply and demand, you know, when demand heats up, that's when you raise your prices. And when demand goes down, that's when the prices come down. And this is kind of where this is kind of like at a really pivotal time, because demand is not great. It's not. No. It's okay. It's fine. You know, it's fine. Just like when you ask your wife, how are you? I'm fine. Oh, that's not fine. But that's fine. And prices have been coming down, but they're trying to raise prices. They're trying to say it's cost-based, that there are some inputs that are coming up. And the biggest costs that they're talking about right now are OCC prices, old corrugated cartons, and labor rates, which labor rates are affecting everybody. So hard to get people to sympathize with that one. All right. So
I agree with that, man. 100%.
So now you have a divergence here in supply, demand, pricing, and what's going to happen. And so basically right now, every contract in the United States that we know of is tied to another publication and what they say is going to happen to prices. Created a different index. And what's interesting about our index is it's actually data-driven. And the reason for our data-driven index is that it takes away some of the guesswork. If there's macroeconomic data available that can tell us like, hey, these are the signals that we're seeing. And based on these signals, this makes sense. Right. And it's equitable and it's rational. It's okay. Systematic. And what we did was we made an algorithm. I'm a bit of a mad scientist. I put this algorithm together and we back tested it for 9 years. And no one had to tell this algorithm when the prices needed to go up or down, but we tuned it so that it followed the general shape of what's happened in the industry. And again, this was just an algorithm. It was doing all of this on its own. And right now the algorithm reset at the end of January got an update to it, and our algorithm showed that prices would go down 4% at the exact same time the producers are looking for them to go up. So that's where the rubber meets the road right now. So we're not here to say prices should go up or down. We're not here to say that they can or cannot raise their prices, but we are here to say that here's the available data. And when we look at something that's systematic and rational, that's based on macroeconomic trends, it's giving us a much different picture than what we're seeing.
Yeah, what's actually out there.
I think it's what's actually out there.
That makes a big difference, right? I mean, it's a, what about the times where you get the ad in the paper and you go to the store and it's completely different? It's, oh no, that's actually this product. And it's like, well, no, it says oranges here, right? Or,
well, they call that a bait and switch, don't they?
The merchandising, and it happens all the time. I mean, how many times have you gone in? And I mean, I always say it happens to us every day, every month. But if you take it like, let's just take Lowe's, for instance, you know, we're shopping for a new washer and dryer. My wife and I are, and they always get you. All of a sudden, my wife was like, oh my gosh, look at this online. Oh my gosh, if you do this online, we're going to save, you know, this much percentage versus the store. So then we go into the store because we're like, let's go into the store. Let's figure, oh, sure enough, they are 100% out of stock on the online item, Ryan. So I'm sitting there going, well, where's the online item? They said, well, no, if you want that price and you want that, you got to book it online, but you're not going to get it for probably 12 to 18 weeks.
There you go.
And I was like, wait a minute. I'm like, but the sale is this week. So I have to order it this week, pay Lowe's for the washer and dryer that was on sale during the Valentine's Day holiday or President's Day holiday that's coming up, but I'm not going to receive it for 18 weeks. Well, right. Or you can buy this in store. Here's the comparable model. And now instead of it being $648 with the sale, right? Now we're at $948 with the new item.
Yeah.
So it's like, you're like sitting here and going, well, I need a washer and a dryer, right? You know, if you're our washer, it's funny. I got one of those situations where my washer broke. And I'm a guy that buys warranty. So they gave me a gift card, right? So I'm trying to spend the money on my gift card to make this all work, right? And online purchases gave you so much. So I'm sitting there and we had this all like mapped out. I'm like, oh, we can get the brand new washer and dryer and only pay for delivery. Nope, 100% not. Now I'm up to like $1,200 now because the original one we wanted, you know, boom, it was an online, is a bait and switch.
Yeah.
But again, I think that they're doing that also because they need to drive traffic into the store, one, and they need to sell. And then like, look, if they do sell that, all they're going to do is order from a 3PL website or wherever it is, the manufacturer, and then have it shipped, but they're never going to hold the inventory in their store. But yet, if you buy in the store for that higher price, right, Ryan? Just like you said on that one customer that bought at that high price,
yep.
Now they have the justification to say, well, we have clients buying at those prices. So it justifies us to not order these and be able to keep our price increase.
So my question though is that will produce guys and gals pay a higher price for boxes in 2024? Is that something that they're going to be forced into? Is that something they're even willing to take, or are they going
to? But they're going to have to. I mean, that's the one thing I'm going to tell you is, you know, my bags of oranges, my 4-pound bags go in a 10-4 master case. You know what I mean? I mean, all of my loose citrus goes in master cases. Like, what are we going to start? I can't ship these in bags, just bags, or even the tri-walls. Tri-walls are made out of cardboard. So I think that, yes, or are we going to completely switch over to RPCs? But I can also tell you that doesn't work either because the cost of RPCs, that's plastic, and the return, all that fun stuff. I'm not even going to get into those RPCs because that is just like a pain in the butt to deal with.
RPCs, you're paying a rental, you're paying for refurbish, you're paying the transit. It's just as expensive, right?
I think it's more.
Probably
you
don't get more.
The recycling, I say recycling kickback because again, if you have a baler, you're able to recycle, you're able to get, you know, discounts, right?
Right.
Write-offs, things like that. So here's the thing though.
If you're going down the road though, and you see the gas station across the streets raise their prices and they're up and they're 30 cents higher than somebody else, do you go to that one just because you like going to that one, or do you go to the next one where it's 30 cents less?
Depends on where you live. If it's California, 100%, man. My buddy tells me all the time, like he'll call me and be like, yeah, I got to get out of Huntington Beach to get gas. And I'm like, why? He's like, it's like $5 a gallon down here. He's like, you got it. You know what I mean? So, you know, I definitely agree. And sometimes it's convenience. Like I have on my same side, I have a gas station that's a Circle K, but on the other side is the Sunoco. But I would have to do like the whip around, the U-turn. And I'm always like, for 2 pennies, it ain't worth it. Right.
Right.
But if it was $2.99 to $4.99, I would sit at both those red lights to do that U-turn and go to the Sunoco.
Yeah. Well, so imagine if the box producer came to you and said, we're going to raise your price by 14%. you know, is that enough of an incentive to go out and shop around and see who can help?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. 100%. So the question then is, what's the magic number? At what point do you say, okay, fine, I'll take it. Is it 2%? Is it 3%? Is it 5%? You know, I'm not going to worry about this. It's just too much hassle. Or do you say, no, this is a real deal. This is really going to affect us and we're going to have to make some changes. And this is really kind of where the industry is going to find potentially some friction, right? Because there are a lot of producers out there that would love to have that business and they're all competing for it.
Nope.
And we saw a lot of business change hands over the last few months as this announcement came out.
There's a lot happening. There's going to be a lot more changes. That's one thing I can 100% tell you. I mean, we look at it every year. I mean, even our bags, our plastic, right? Our boxes, everything all the way around the board. We look at everything. If costs are going up, we reevaluate it. And again, as a co-packer, we co-pack for people too. And a lot of times we would buy their material in advance as well. We're now telling people, if you want us to co-pack your bags or your boxes, you got to bring them to us. If you need us to store your inventory. And again, I mean, it's not all the time. But if I'm having to store someone's inventory for a year, I'm putting warehouse fees on there. So you might, it'd be more economical if you bought the product direct and sent it to me, because now you're going to get a percentage fee for warehousing, right? Inventory of boxes, inventory of items, right? So I think that has a big deal. And then even, you know, Ryan, one thing that we haven't talked about, you know, and we'll kind of get ready to close this up in a few minutes, but freight. I mean, how do you get product from point A to point B? Not in your car. You got to hire freight companies. And yeah. I can tell you the cost model for freight has gone up tremendously with wage increases, with gas prices. Diesel's now more than unleaded. So it's to the point where, remember when diesel a couple of years ago was very, I would say not very low, but it was lower than unleaded, you know, regular gasoline. Now diesel's high, right? You've got the units have to have more certifications on the reefer unit. So now you've got all this uptick. What costed you in 20, let's go before COVID, in 2019, what costed you $5,000 to get to the East Coast, 5,500, $6,000, now costs over $14,000, $15,000.
Oh my gosh.
From Texas to California, it used to be, you know, $2,000-$3,000. I remember shipping California oranges to a Texas processor, $2,800, $3,200.
Oh my goodness.
Those same items now are, you know, now are $5-$6 a box.
I think I got some freight people in my LinkedIn network that would love to help with that. Because there's
no, they don't.
There's
they
a
all
lot.
Give you the bait and switch prices, man.
No, right? Come on, man. I know some good freight people who would
I've
love
got a
good, like,
listen,
the bottom
a great, out of that. We have a great sponsor, JGLC, who's asset based. You know, we talk to them all the time. And, you know, they're such a great company. They've got green transport. I'm not just, you know, throwing their names out, but like Maddie and their team, I always give them the other people's prices and they're like, holy cow, they're always a great cost, right?
Well, but it also depends on what you're looking for. If you need a refrigerated truck, that's a different story
versus
than a flatbed, driving. Or,
exactly. Yeah. So yeah, man. I mean, I think that, you know, all of our stuff is obviously reefer. And I know I'll probably get people reaching out to me. Oh, I can help with your freight prices. No. If you're a freight company, don't reach out to me. I don't want to talk. I don't ship anything. I'm not in charge of that.
You're absolutely right. Freight is a big portion of this.
Huge. You know,
when it comes to the corrugated world, the effective range is probably about 300 miles that somebody's really going to be able to ship corrugated. You're going to see that there's some pressure there, obviously, to raise prices and to try to accommodate for those rising freight prices if they're going to continue to trend in that direction.
Yeah, I mean, I think that does take a little bit of a hit, because then you got freight companies also that are giving you discounts. Okay, well, we want the business, we'll do this. So again, we're all lowering our costs, whether it's on the fruit or the freight. So when is it a time to where you look at the box index price and say, okay, stop, we need to start looking elsewhere, because we're doing it already now with plastic.
Yeah.
We're doing it already now with freight. We're doing it right now, even with growers that, you know, want certain prices. We have to tell them, we can give you something, but we can't give you what you need, because we don't know where it's going to end out. No one can predict that market.
Right. I mean, you got to remember that consumers are going to dictate what's really going to happen. You can set whatever you price, and then the grocers are going to put the price out there. But if people aren't buying it, you know, it's going to trickle itself back up the chain.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to read something else from this market report, the Green Market Box Report, and then I'll let you touch on it. But I thought this was interesting. So if you look at the NAM Outlook survey, you know, manufacturing sentiment inched up in Q4, 66.2%, somewhat of a very positive from, you know, Q3 at 65.1%. slightly ahead of 3-month average of 66.1%, according to the National Association of Manufacturers. This is leading to, it was a fifth consecutive quarter, you know, below the historical average of 74.8%. You know, key takeaways from the survey of, you know, 234 manufacturers were optimism rose solidly among large manufacturers, but remained challenged for small and medium-sized companies. Two, fewer respondents expect a recession in 2024 than 90 days prior, but nearly 41% are uncertain. Three, more than 71% of manufacturers cite the inability to attract and retain employees as their primary challenge. Oh my gosh, that is 100%. Number four, production is expected to grow 1.7% over the next 12 months, meaning more costs. Number five, employee wages are expected to grow 2.9% over the next 12 months, meaning what I heard there in the last three sentiments was your box prices and costs are going up. So based on that survey, though, you know, the NAM outlook, Ryan, what would you comment on that to let, you know, our listeners know, you know, what to look for, you know, based on the data and the analytics, right? Not a personal opinion, just, you know, based on data.
So we take, that is one of the data points that we take into account for, right? We look at the NAM, we look at the PMI, you know, the Institute of Supply Chain Management. We'll look at the Beige Book, which is a collection of Federal Reserve surveys that they do. We look at our own surveys to hear what box producers are saying about box demand. And, you know, all of these things we put together along with some of the sentiments from publicly traded companies. You know, every month there's another company that's going to be presenting what they did in the previous quarter. So we're going to listen to what they said. We're going to listen to their guidance that they're putting forward. We're going to try to package that in a way that says, okay, here's what's going on. And on the one hand, there are definite signals that we're seeing some improvement relative to where we've been. Okay. I don't know that we're out of the woods yet. Now, from a manufacturing standpoint, we look at the NAM and we look at PMI because, you know, about 30% of corrugated boxes are consumed by manufacturers. Another 30% of boxes are consumed by people who make packaged food and beverage. Agriculture is another very big consumer of corrugated boxes. Roughly about another 8% was just ag.
Wow.
Now, it's really cloudy because we're relying on people to input proper data, but still, I mean, let's just call it 10% for big round numbers. You know, 10% of the boxes in this country are going to go to ag producers. This is going to be your oranges, apples, everything. I mean, that's not insignificant. A very good amount of purchases need to be taken into account of. And their prerequisites for packaging are incredibly specific. Like I said, they might have to be refrigerated. They may have to carry heavy loads. You know, your triple wall boxes, those are, you know, watermelon boxes, these laminated bin boxes. This is not a commodity, right? I think about the processors. I've been in a processor plants that make sweet potatoes and purees and things like that. And they're using these incredible big, you know, they carry 2,000 pounds, 3,000 pounds of stuff inside of it. These are really specific non-commodity boxes. They're very expensive. This is not an insignificant demographic of the industry. And we really have to make sure that, you know, everyone is represented and they understand the market dynamics.
I agree with you. So as we close this episode, everyone, what was Ryan's question? And this is the comment we want you to post when we post this on LinkedIn, when we post it on the show for Monday. Listen, when is the time to where you look at your box price and say, I'm going to start shopping around for others? When is the time for you to take a look at that like you've looked at everything else and are going to make that change? Ryan, what are the questions you want to pose out there, you know, that we can get the audience involved in?
Well, I think one of the things I can tell you is a good supplier is going to be a good partner to you. So they should be, I'm going to should on somebody here. They should be presenting some options to them. Like, hey, listen, we can mitigate this increase by doing this. You know, here's some of the things that we can do. If you're using white boxes and it's not a customer-facing box, maybe it's time to switch to brown. You know, if you got multicolors, maybe it's time to switch to one color. There is a lot of options there to help people mitigate those rising costs. And I think it's a great time to lean into the suppliers, have those hard conversations and say, hey, what can we do to work together on this? So it's not just a matter of like, let's go shopping, but hey, let's solve this problem. And I think now is a really great time to do that.
I like that. It's so true. You know, let's solve the problem together. Let's work together. Let's build our industry together. Because the more we do that, the more sales we'll have, the better consumers will spend their dollars, their pocketbooks on fresh produce, fresh supply chain items instead of, obviously, I mean, I know you encompass a lot of the box prices for everything, but obviously, you know, we want to make sure that you have more dollars in your pocket to be able to spend more money. I mean, that's the biggest thing. The economy, the people in the economy are the ones that have to spend the money for the economy to keep moving forward. I say this to everybody. I'm going to say it again. People are the most valuable asset, whether it's a company or this world alone. Nobody is more valuable than people, because people are the ones that make the change, spend the money, and do the things that are necessary to move forward. So, Ryan, I appreciate you coming on, man. Look forward to having some more conversation with you in the future as things will change. And as I say, we'll see you in the fields and on the horizon.
You've been listening to the Produce Industry Podcast with Patrick Kelly. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes or Anchor to get new, fresh weekly episodes. For more, please follow us on Instagram and Facebook at the Produce Industry Podcast. Until next time, see you in the fields or on the horizon.